Our next speaker is a man with a long track record of consistency in ethics and teaching. His life experiences mirror his teaching, having spent prison time for his defense of the preborn, as successfully along with his wife raised a large family of 11 children and 22 grandchildren. Is that 23 now, Matt? Congratulations. He has written numerous important books, including The Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrate, an effective tool in the fight to roll back tyrannical government. In addition to his ongoing work for many godly causes, he has been a frequent speaker for the Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society. He recognized early and clearly what was going on with the COVID situation, and time has proven him right. Please join me in welcoming Pastor Matt Truella.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's great to be here amongst you, seeing so many unmasked faces. It's awesome. I like being around sane people. My home seems relatively sane. And every time I go to the Piggly Wiggly, I'm left thinking, no, it's an insane asylum. They're all walking around with their masks. I'm just like, you're killing me here. I didn't fly out here. I actually drove out here because of the fact that I told my wife, if we fly, I know I'll end up in a federal prison. Yeah. There's just no way I can accommodate that. And I'm looking forward for the cold air to come so they can all see how much their breath is going through their masks and where it's leaking out everywhere, and hopefully something will connect at that point, if you know what I mean. Why don't you stand up? We'll have a word of prayer, and I'll get into my topic this afternoon, which is a white lie and black death. Why does the church believe the COVID-19 lie? Father, we thank you and praise you for this time that we can talk about this important matter. You see how it's been used as a narrative by tyrants, Lord, to forge chains. And Father, we just ask and pray, oh God, that you would help people to see what's going on, and that during this time when you bring your righteous judgment upon this nation, as you're doing, that many will be pointed to your Son by our faithfulness. May we live faithful to you both in word and in deed, I pray. And we thank you that we're born and living during times like these. We thank you that the status quo is coming to an end, where everyone just lives for the pursuit of wealth and ease. We thank you for that, oh God. We thank you for all we see that's crumbling. Often before you can have good reconstruction, you must have deconstruction. This is needed and necessary. It's what happens when a nation spits in your face, impugns your law and word. Lord, may we be your faithful servants to make your ways and thoughts known to men in this hour. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I do. Yeah, I'm good. Thanks. That's my wife, Clara. And I've been given the task this afternoon to answer the question, why does the church believe the COVID-19 lie? And the short and simple answer is because of the pulpits and pietism. The vast majority of churchmen in America are traitors to Christ, and the prevalent form of Christianity in America is rank pietism. Retreatist, escapist, dualistic, Gnostic pietism. The church believes the lie of COVID-19 because of the pulpits and pietism. I could end my lecture right here. Now, it's important to note when we say lie, we're not saying that a virus does not exist. Some sort of virus exists. What we are saying, in fact, many viruses exist on the planet. What we're saying is that COVID-19 is a molehill made into a mountain, and the actions of the government and the prattle of the media is built on a mountain of lies. The molehill made into a mountain has many contributors, from the media to healthcare professionals to government officials to filthy rich elitists to lawyers to businessmen and to churchmen. They've all played their role in promoting this fiction, this lie, to help enslave the people. My design here in part one is to explain why the church has believed the lie, how it has been used and employed by wicked men. Yes, evil is afoot. And in part two, we will consider thoughts and actions to hopefully see reconstructive reformation rather than bloody revolution in our country. Although the latter seems inevitable at this point. I will not try to convince you that this is a molehill made into a mountain. If you are still living the fiction, that is, that this is all legit. You just need to go do some of your own research to see what a joke this is that they proliferated upon the people in this nation. A virtual encyclopedia of information on the virus being built on a mountain of lies has been written by countless scientists, medical professionals, investigators, and thinkers. So show some initiative, do some study, do like what I tell my kids, take your little device and don't just look at fuzzy teddy bears and nonsense, and do some research with your device. My goal in this talk is to answer the question why, not to convince you that it's a molehill made into a mountain, but to answer the question why does the church believe the lie of COVID-19? We've already done our research, most of us here, and learned that it is a lie. Hence the question. The question. How is it that the vast majority of churchmen and Christians could not see COVID for the fraud and evil that it is? How could they not see it as the tool of evil men and government officials that it is? How could they not see it was a molehill being made into a mountain? How can they not discern that evil was and is afoot? Not only in our nation, but around the globe. How could they not see it for the fraud and evil that it was when it impugned God's created order and men were not allowed to work? How could they not see it for the fraud and evil that it was when the churches were deemed non-essential and closed down, but the abortion death camps were deemed essential and remained open? How could they not see it for the fraud and evil that it was when God's law makes it clear you quarantine the sick, but our government's quarantining all of society? Why did it take months before some began to see it? And why do many, most, still believe it? And most all still aid and abet it? Why is that? The answer, again, is simply because of the pulpits and pietism. Because the churchmen and the form of Christianity prevalent in America has made it so. So let me address the churchmen first. The churchmen have convinced the people that COVID is not a lie. The churchmen have done it. The most vaunted desire and virtue of your average American churchman is to be liked. I know too many churchmen. They pursue this. Being liked and thought well of. This all began with the seeker-friendly movement back in the late 80s and early 90s. One needs to wonder if the fealty of a churchman is to be to Christ, to teach and preach and apply God's law and word. How do you think you can be liked when, according to Hebrews 4, the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even a division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart? But yet that is what they still pursue, being liked, loving the praises of men. In America, the more effeminate the churchman behaves, the more he wins the laurels of the people and the fellow churchmen. And that's a fact, a sad fact. Another result of the seeker-friendly paradigm, besides wanting to be liked, is the need to be non-confrontational. And this, too, is completely contrary to biblical, historical Christianity. The gospel is confrontational. We call men to repentance. The message of the gospel confronts the individual and their sin, and God's law and word confronts the evils, idols, and tyrants of any nation in any day. Christianity has historically found itself in confrontation with the civil authorities. From the book of Acts forward, the history of Christianity has been confrontation with the state. But the churchmen of our day want to be liked. and they refused to confront lawless magistrates. Look what they did. When the state ordered, or in other situations, strongly suggested that the churchmen close their doors, they closed their doors. Understand, in the past, churchmen barred the state entrance into the church because they wanted to uphold the authority of the church and preserve righteousness. Now, in our day, the state bars entrance to the church, and the churchmen meekly comply because the paternal state has told them it's best for them to do so. We have great historical examples of this. You may recall Ambrose and Emperor Theodosius. Ambrose blocking the door of the church to prevent the state entry. John Chrysostom did it regarding Eutropius, second in command of all of Rome, who sought refuge in his church. Chrysostom kept the state out from... This is what churchmen did in the past, but not today's churchmen. So when the state deemed the church as non-essential and ordered church doors closed in many states around the country, the churchmen affirmed what most already knew. They are non-essential. They closed their doors. But the churchmen not only closed their churches, they did even worse. They not only played the traitor, they also played the whore. They took money from the state. They closed their doors, barred their churches shut, and took money that the government was handing out like candy. Whether by order of a governor or their state, or voluntarily, they closed their churches and took the money. Payment Protection Program, PPP. In fact, $7.3 billion has gone to churches and religious organizations across America. I have talked to numerous people who were stunned that their church closed and took the money from the state. Close your church, you get the money. Don't close your church, you don't get the money. You understand that? You get 2.5 times the usual wages that any person who's part of the church receives. 2.5 times. When this money was made available, the Christian lawyers quickly moved in, and numerous Christian legal organizations taught the churchmen how to get their quote-unquote loan from the government, which was no loan at all. It was simply a grant of free money. But they called it a loan. And the Christian lawyers taught the churchmen how to get their free money, how to make sure that it wasn't an actual loan. The churchmen lined up by the thousands to get the money. You had to apply to get the money. Even though John MacArthur says the money just showed up at their church and they sent it back, no, you have to apply to get that money. He said there was just probably some list that the government had and they sent out this money. And we sent it back. You have to apply to get the money. And we now know he did apply to get the money. That's been seen in time and space. He says he gave the money back. Time will tell. We've been shown no proof that that has taken place. When the government gives you money, and they gave John MacArthur over $1 million for his church, when they give you money, it doesn't just come as a $1,200 check like some of you may have received. It gets put into your coffers. You applied for it. It's there. Have you ever worked with anyone trying to give money back to our government? I have. It's not a simple process, and the soonest I've ever seen the government take the money back is 6 to 8 months later, through much toil to get them to take it back, and it wasn't anywhere near close to that kind of money. There's lots of paperwork involved with this. Acknowledgements have to be made in agreement with the government to get your free money. And the churchmen, by the thousands across America, closed their doors and took the money. Brother Paul was talking earlier about 501c3. They hoard out themselves long ago for the state trinkets and benefits. So it's not surprising. So they play the traitor, they play the whore, and then on top of all that, they have the audacity to claim being biblical by twisting the word of God and quoting Romans 13. Yeah. The churchmen have long obeyed any and every edict of the state due to their bogus assertions about Romans 13, that we are to always obey the civil authorities. I had numerous ministers tell me we are duty-bound to obey the state and not meet, based on Romans 13. I would respond to these numerous ministers by taking them to the text of Romans 13 and pointing out verses 3 and 4. And I would ask them, does not Romans 13 make clear the function of civil government is to punish those who do evil? And then I would ask them, is attending church evil? And then I would ask them, will you report us to the state authorities since we meet anyway? Aren't you duty bound by your understanding to report us to the government officials that we're meeting anyway over at Mercy Seat? Churchmen should have kept their church doors open in spite of state orders. This was the time God handed a huge opportunity to the church to show leadership, to take suffering upon itself, to protect the businessmen and the people of this country through their interposition, and they dropped the ball based on a ridiculous view of Romans 13 and their opportunity to get money. Had the churches interposed, the evil of the magistrates would have been blunted. Interposition by the church against the state works as a goodness for the rest of the nation and peoples that inhabit the nation. The churches are in the best position for interposition in the COVID situation. We were in the best position. The businesses and businessmen are already under the boot of the state from an innumerable amount of laws and regulations. The state can hurt them bad if they don't do what they're told. In fact, the state uses the businesses to foment their evil in the land. That's why they all have their little signs up, have a mask on or you can't come in. I've talked to the businessmen. I could get in trouble. I could be shut down if I don't put this sign up, according to our health professionals, our health officials. The church would have blunted the tyranny of the state and helped the businessmen. Instead, the businessmen also lined up to get their loan, their free money. And the people at large have all believed a lie, walking around with their dopey masks on. We would have blunted it. There wouldn't be all these people walking around with their dopey masks on, acting all timid and tiptoeing. Ooh, he's closer than 6 feet to me. Empowering the worst of our citizens. You know, the citizen Gestapo, they're in every culture, every nation, during every tyranny. Yeah. Now they can go, he didn't have a mask on. He didn't have a mask on. Cause trouble for you. You have to stand against evil. This whole thing is evil. The churchmen told us good Christians will obey and go along because that is loving. And we don't want to hurt our witness. The truth is, good Christians don't spread lies. And they don't aid and abet tyrant government officials by helping spread their lie. This goes to the ninth commandment. This goes to Exodus 22, verses 2 and 3. The whole COVID matter has been built on a lie. Remember they first told us this would be a two-week matter? That was a lie. I knew it was a lie before most because our church would meet at a government building. And they told us it would be a month before we could get in. And sure enough, about the two-week time was up, they announced it would now go on for another 2 weeks. It would be a month. And at that point, the people at the government building told me, no, you won't get in for another month now. It's going to be 2 months. So I knew that was a lie. And sure enough, it was. It went now to 2 months. That was a lie. And now it's gone on forever. And everybody still walks around in this culture. They said the lockdown was to keep the hospitals from being overrun, but they were never close to being overrun. Any nurse or doctor can tell you. They faked and fabricated hospital overruns, which people with video cameras and all the chutzpah were able to expose as utter lies. Our governor in Wisconsin spent $24 million to retool an entire massive building at our state fairgrounds for all the overflow. Never saw one patient. $24 million. A young guy I knew was working there said that the contractor told him, look, fellas, there's never going to be a single patient here. The only purpose of doing all this is to assure the citizens that they can trust their government. that when they said this was going to be as awful as it was, it is as awful as it is because we have to redo this building for the overflow. They put up buildings all around our hospitals, overflow buildings at every hospital by the government. Not one of them saw one patient ever inside them in our entire state. They said it was to flatten the curve, but the curve had long been flattened. Never did get anywhere high as they said it would. Yet the nonsense goes on, lies upon lies. The government and their health experts have lied about the number of deaths from COVID, counting those with COVID as part of the dead rather than only those who died from COVID being the number of the dead. Now the government and media don't even report the number of dead. They quit doing that because the numbers of dead were going down. So they began to promote tests. And they said, oh, new cases, new cases, new cases. You can follow the CDC's own statistics. They're available to everyone sitting in here. For the last 4 months, the number of cases has gone up while the number of deaths has dropped down. If you test people for any certain virus, guess what you're going to find? People with the virus. It doesn't mean anything difficult for most people. Most are asymptomatic or they go through just a little problem and they're done with it. Others, it's a big deal. What do we do with people? It's a big deal. Elderly people, what do we do during the pneumonia season each winter up in Wisconsin? They stay home. They're immune compromised or they're older, you stay home. You quarantine the sick. You don't quarantine the healthy. And you also, if people are concerned, have them stay home. Not everybody locked in their home. It's an absurdity. I go on and on here. They've destroyed countless businesses, caused great harm to the economy, have indebted the nation with trillions of new dollars in spending, have put millions of people out of work, have taught innumerable numbers of people that the state will take care of them, reducing them to slaves of the state, dependent upon the Leviathan, have caused the deaths and sufferings of countless souls who were not able to get the health care they needed because COVID took precedent. Enrich the health professionals with huge sums of money from the federal government for each case of COVID, hospitalization, or death. Slaughtered many elderly by placing the sick with COVID in nursing homes. They have cut off those in nursing homes from their loved ones, hastening their demise. And now we see soaring numbers of heart problems, depression, anger, and domestic problems. And the whole thing, a mountain of lies, and everybody just keeps going along with it. It's maddening. I preached against it on March 22nd. Saw it for what it was. And I've had all these months watching it. And still they conform. Disturbing. The ninth commandment comes to bear here. You shall not bear false witness. The churchmen say you're not loving your neighbor if you don't wear the mask. The churchmen say you're hurting your witness if you don't wear a mask. I had read countless things where churchmen talked about taking up our cross, and then they apply it to wearing a mask. That's how despicable they are. The opposite is actually the truth. If you wear the mask, you are not showing love to them because you have joined a great lie. If you wear the mask, you are hurting your witness for Christ because you have joined a great lie. When you wear the mask, you are bearing false witness to your neighbor. You are telling them the lie is true. And all along the way, the pulpits have aided and abetted the Christ haters and their leftist agenda with their bogus rendering of Romans 13. I got to move on. I won't. There's so much I could say about Romans 13. So you have this whole lie. The churches have closed down. They're all living the fiction. And then starting at the end of July and early August, right about the time the free money from the government was ending to provide for the churchmen while the church doors were kept closed. Mind you, they was a cash cow for them, 2.5 times what usually. Right at that time, amazingly enough, the churchmen began to reopen their doors. You recall that? All of a sudden, there was a move to reopen. End of July, beginning of August. Do the timeline in your mind. I'm a churchman, I know. MacArthur included. Amazingly enough, that's when many of the churchmen, the pietistic churchmen, began to demand that they be allowed to reopen and began to meet again, when the money was running out. But the vast majority of them did it with all the social distancing and masking nonsense. Understand the social distancing and masking by governments is an extension of the statist hell America already is. The mask is a representation of how Christians, how Americans have declared the state to be God. Yeah, that's true. That they will blithely obey the state, and that includes the vast majority of those who claim to be Christians. Many say it's just a mask, but it's far more than a mask. It is part and parcel of the whole lie and narrative that COVID is. Understand, tyranny is built plank by plank. The Jews weren't told to just show up at the railroad station one day and to jump on the boxcars. They had been conditioned by many laws prior to that, the first of which was they couldn't sit on public benches. It's just not sitting on a public bench. Well, they accommodated themselves to that. It's just a mask. And then another law was passed, and they accommodated themselves to that. Another law was passed, they accommodated themselves to that. There are 1,000 accommodations to evil before you get to the final solution. You must guard the liberty you possess. Men fought, bled, and died for the liberty we possess. We have no right to glibly give it away. The noted British statesman William Pitt once said, quote, "Necessity is the plea for every infringement of human freedom. It is the argument of tyrants. It is the creed of slaves." And the tyrants of our day have learned that a virus is the perfect narrative to impose tyranny on the citizenry, filling them with fear and hysteria. And this tyranny is evil. It's a pernicious evil where citizens are against one another. Government has put up numbers to call and websites to visit in order to tell on your neighbors for not complying. Media has put out countless articles and videos teaching citizens how to shame those not wearing masks. And you routinely see posts and editorials now stating that people who will not participate in the coming vaccination should have their kids taken away from them. Understand, as this climate of fear and authoritarianism continues to build, people will more and more ingratiate themselves to the ruling class by turning on their fellow citizens, reporting them, even making up stories and lies about them in order to make things better for themselves. This is all history. This is all human nature. It happened again. People wonder, how did Stalin pull it off? They wonder, just like it's being done now. That's how they pulled it off. Because everyone's silent, worried about how they might shake out. Everyone conforms. James Madison wrote in 1785, when a law was proposed that had the potential to curb their liberty, he said, quote, "It is proper to take alarm at the first experiment on our liberties. We hold this prudent jealousy to be the first duty of citizens and one of the noblest characteristics of the late revolution. The free men of America did not wait to usurp power, had strengthened itself by exercise and entangled the question in precedence." That sentence is loaded. They saw all the consequences in the principle, and they avoided the consequences by denying the principle. Amen? When you see tyranny, you have to act against it. You have to speak up. My experience has been that about a third of the people are actually scared of the virus. The other two-thirds, who all walk around doing social distancing and masking, are just going along because, A, they don't like confrontation, or B, they just want to be liked. They want to fit in. That's been my experience. You can't allow that to be your habit, your way of doing things. You must stand against that immediately. You cannot conform to what they're doing. How is it that we have to convince our fellow Christians that their government may be lying to them? You should already have a healthy suspicion of government. COVID's been used by government officials to grant power to state health experts who are nothing more than bureaucratic thugs. And you know what they're doing in our nation? Destroying representative government. There hasn't been one legislature that has defied a governor in this entire country. They have either allowed it to go on, or they've run to the judiciary to stop it. And that is a huge mistake. Our legislature ran to the judiciary in our state, And one of the justices, when listening to the case, said, "My question for you is, where in the Wisconsin Constitution did the people confer authority on a single unelected cabinet secretary to compel almost 6 million people to stay at home and close their businesses and face imprisonment if they don't comply, with no input from the legislature without the consent of the people?" But still, our legislature wouldn't act. Overwhelmingly Republican in both houses. This is called tyranny. This is called slavery. This is called evil, what they are doing. The most shocking trait of mankind, the thing that stuns me most and leaves me most dumbfounded about man, is his willingness to conform, that he will go along with most anything. For most people, it seems that the only thing that will cause them not to go along with most anything is if they're deprived of their latest movie or their latest moose hunt or something of that nature. Most can accommodate themselves to most anything else. Matters of injustice or immorality are of no consequence to them. They blithely conform. Webster's Dictionary says, for the definition of conform, to obey or agree with something, to do what other people do, to behave or think in a way that is accepted by most people. Jesus understood this about the nature of man, his willingness to conform. It's revealed in his statement where he said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads life, and there are few who find it." Most men go along with the crowd their whole life. When it comes to man's willingness to conform, Pink Floyd asked it this way: "And did they get you to trade your heroes for ghosts, hot ashes for trees, hot air for a cool breeze, cold comfort for change? And did you exchange a walk on part in the war for a lead role in a cage?" Yeah, most do. Most do. My mom put it this way: "If everyone else walked off the end of the pier into the ocean, would you walk off too?" Thoreau said it this way: "Any fool can make a rule, and any fool will mind it." That man is wont to conform has even been proven by experiments and studies. The Ash experiments, Milgram experiments and studies, all studies left researchers shocked to see how people were willing and indeed did conform, even when they knew bad consequences would result, even when they knew what was being done or being said was wrong. And that's the vast majority of mask wearers in America right now. They know it's wrong, but they conform. They conform. Both of these have an impact on how individuals conform. Pardon me. Why do people conform? Frankly, much of it has to do with being liked. It has to do with the fear of man. What will others think of me? Secondly, it has to do with authority. Those in authority influence those under them for good or for bad. This also has to do with the fear of man. Both of these have an impact on how individuals conform. This whole COVID thing has made me realize just how deeply this whole conformity matter goes. We go out and we speak up for the preborn. I've done it for decades now. And I've just always been stunned at the indifference of the Americans. You see a photograph of a baby slaughtered by abortion, and you can just keep going by, and you don't care. Even the vast majority. And I used to be like, why are they indifferent? Why do they conform and comply with this evil of Roe v. Wade? This whole matter with COVID has helped me to realize this, that they have two traits, indifference and compliance, and that God is using those two traits that they've embraced, indifference and compliance, to send them strong delusion. The American people have been indifferent and compliant with every evil that has come down the pike. Indifferent and compliant with the slaughter of the preborn. Indifferent and compliant with homosexuals being decriminalized and sodomite marriage being legalized. Indifferent and compliant to all the transgenderism stuff. Indifferent and compliant with every evil that has come along which impugns the law and word of God. And now, they are indifferent and compliant with the very actions of their government regarding COVID. Those two traits, indifference and compliance, will be their undoing. They are complying to their own destruction. Churchmen talk all day about obeying the state with shrill voices. They worry aloud about how all men tend towards rebellion and disobedience. They therefore demand complete obedience to the state, lest this rebellion in man is unleashed. I submit to you that the bigger danger in America today is not the rebellion of man to the state, but the compliance of man to the state. Churchmen talk all day about obeying the state, but what about when compliance becomes evil? What about when obedience helps evil grow and strengthen? Churchmen talk all day about obeying the state as though the magistrates themselves cannot establish rebellion and disobedience. The churchmen herd the Christians into compliance with evil magistrates and then cover it all in God words, sappy spiritual sounding words. They quote verses of scripture that have nothing to do with the context in which they were written to aid and abet evil, lawless government officials. Leadership is needed. Leadership tells people what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. Leadership doesn't go along to get along. Leadership doesn't just unquestioningly, blithely obey the authority above them. The state declared the church non-essential, and the churches, by their compliance, affirmed their non-essentiality. But the church revealed its non-essentiality long before COVID. They affirmed their non-essentiality when the slaughter of the preborn started and they stood by and did nothing. They affirmed their non-essentiality when homosex and homosexual marriage was foisted upon the people. And the response of the church was virtually nothing. A church that fails to respond to such evils is non-essential. COVID has simply again revealed its non-essentiality. So that's the state of the pulpits, traitors and whores. But what about pietism? Let me address that just for a few minutes, and then we'll take questions. American Christianity is rooted in pietism. Pietists viewed Christianity as being prevalent within the public realm of Western culture, but believed they saw little of it evident in people's personal lives. They therefore went to the other extreme and taught that Christianity should only affect the personal and not bother with the public. Though defining pietism can be difficult because as any theological thought, there are varying views and degrees. All are agreed that pietists believe Christianity or God's law is no place for the governance of society. The pietist believes Christianity should be a private matter and should withdraw from the public square and public policy. Pietism teaches retreatism and escapism from the world. Agnosticism, a narcissism. They view involvement in public policy matters to be unspiritual, hence the vast majority of American Christianity is constantly preoccupied with checking their motives, listening to countless sermons on interpersonal relationships, and self-improvement techniques. Because the church in America lives in its hovel, smug in its indifference to public policy matters, and refuses to confront the idols, evils, and tyrants of our day, it is incapable of discerning evil when it is afoot. Understand that. That's huge. We have a Christianity that is incapable of discerning evil when it is afoot. Because they've refused to confront the wicked men of our nation, they are easily duped. They still think they're living in Mayberry RFD. In summary, the church believes the lie because it's weak and beggarly, because it wants to fit in and be liked by the culture and society, never thought ill of, never a negative word spoken against it. It has lost its prophetic role of forth-telling. Because the church avoids confrontation and goes along to get along with the culture and wants no part in public policy matters, the American church no longer calls the institutions of our culture to repentance or reform when they do wrong. Because the church no longer confronts and addresses the idols, evils, and tyrants of our day, it is therefore incapable of discerning evil when it is afoot. Herbert Schlossberg, in his magnum opus, Idols for Destruction, said it this way. He said, civil religion eases tensions, where biblical religion creates them. Civil religion papers over the cracks of evil, and biblical religion strips away the covering, exposing the nasty places. Civil religion prescribes aspirin for cancer, and biblical religion insists on the knife. Because the church no longer confronts and addresses the idols, evils, and tyrants of our day, It's incapable of discerning evil when it's afoot. When it comes to COVID, the pietists who have formed and created many slogans to make sure any uppity Christian who might want to be involved in civil government matters has a wet blanket thrown over him and he's neutralized. You know, like, we should just preach the gospel. You bring that up, we should just preach the gospel. You bring up doing something against sodomy, the slaughter of the preborn, help some good person get elected, speaking out against the evil of COVID or something like that. And what do they say? We should just preach the gospel. And that is not true. First off, no one just preaches the gospel. Do you ever take your wife for a walk, spend time with your kids, use the toilet? No one just preaches the gospel. Secondly, notice when they say we should just preach the gospel. When they announce the next potluck, have you ever seen someone jump and say, no, we should just preach the gospel? Or when the church softball team is being organized, you know, does anyone say, oh, no, we should just preach the gospel? It's only when you bring up something regarding public policy matters, civil government matters, that's when they put that up. It's meant to neutralize you, to make you feel unspiritual. And you must call it for what it is, rank pietism. Yes. And by the way, where are all these people just preaching the gospel? Because they never seem to come around me as I go through my day. When it comes to COVID, they dismiss it with the slogan, God is in control, or God's got this. It's another pietistic slogan. In other words, they appeal to God's sovereignty to justify their indifference and their inaction. But the truth is, God's sovereignty does not negate man's duty. God's sovereignty is not meant to be used as an excuse for our indifference and our inaction. But that's what they are using it for when they say God's got this. God's in control. When we see the media and government speaking lies and enabling tyranny, we have a duty to speak and act against that. And when we see churchmen aiding and abetting the evil of the government officials, we have a duty to speak against that too. When you have a church which sits in its hovel and doesn't, they lack discernment and are easily duped. But let me close with this. Be encouraged. This form of Christianity in America is going to end. It's going to end in America, and it's going to end throughout Western civilization. The time has come for a tougher form of Christianity, a biblical, historical form of Christianity, one where men can once again feel welcome to be a part of, where they do not have to sit their brain on a shelf and adorn themselves with effeminate trappings, where the evils, idols, and tyrants will be taken to task. And we'll discuss just some of that in part 2. Thank you very much.